Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I was thinking about Christmas and some of the gifts that I got for Christmas, and I hope you all had a good Christmas. I think all of us can say it was very unusual this year, and it was different, and hopefully we'll never have another Christmas like it again. But I was thinking about some of the gifts that I got, and I got some really neat gifts. Some of you know I have this weird obsession with flashlights, and I collect flashlights. I don't really know how or when it began, but I've got a lot of flashlights. But a couple of the gifts I got from Caleb and Carissa were these old-fashioned flashlights. They found them at an antique shop here in Springfield, and they know that I like flashlights, and they don't make flashlights like this anymore, but they're old-fashioned. You know, they're so old and antique-looking, I'm just going to tell people they were used in World War II, you know, but they're magnetic, and they're kind of cool. But I got to thinking, really all I wanted for Christmas is exactly what I had, even beyond the cool gifts, was I just wanted to be together with my family. And I wanted that for you. I wanted us just to be together with our families and our loved ones, to cherish each other. And that's really all I needed. And that's really all that you wanted, I'm sure, as well, too. When we are together in harmony, in safety, in peace, really we have everything we need. And God, in His great love for us, has given us gifts. God has given us everything we need to be His people in this world. Amen? I'm going to start a series today that I'm calling Back to the Basics. And I kind of want to peel the onion back and peel away all the frivolous stuff that we have built up in our lives and get to the basics to rediscover all the wonderful things that God has given us so that we can succeed and be the people of God He wants for us to be. So it's a 6-part series, and they all happen to correspond with the word basics, B-A-S-I-C-S, basics. I remember what Luke said in his message 2 weeks ago. We need to begin with the end in mind. So the end of this series, I'll give you a preview, the S is that God really does want us to succeed. God didn't create us and put us here only to watch us fail. No. He wants us to succeed according to His will. So how God defines success is very different than how the world defines success. But God wants us to succeed. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to grow. He wants us to thrive. And so He's given us everything we need to be able to succeed. It breaks my heart when I see people flounder and fail and give up, because that's not how God intends it to be. He wants us to succeed. And so today, the B in basics, as we get back to the basics, is the Bible. One of the greatest gifts that God has given humanity and given us and given the church and given really whoever will listen is the Bible, His spoken word. God is spirit. He's in the heavens. And yet He found a way to communicate His heart's intent to humanity. And He did it through this collection of books that have been compiled into what we call the Bible. It's been said, and I think Luke even referred to this last week, the Bible is God's love letter to us. I was thinking back to when Renee and I were dating. This was before texting and smartphones. We didn't have any of that. I know some of you young kids are thinking, how in the world did you survive before texting, you know? That's all you guys do is text. But we actually used to write each other love notes, the old-fashioned way. You know, pen and paper. Those were meaningful to us, and we still have them. They are in a chest in the garage. And I remember a couple of years ago, one of the boys stumbled across it and opened up the chest and came running in and goes, "I found all your letters." Mushy love letters. Those are very special and dear to us, the way we corresponded to each other and shared our feelings. When Caleb left for boot camp in October, the only way we could communicate with him was through letter. No texting, they'd take his cell phone away. So it was Thanksgiving Day. A couple weeks had passed by, and I was really missing him. And so I sat down and I wrote him a 2-page letter. And then the next day, I put it in the mail, and he was quick to respond and wrote me back. And I got his letter on my birthday. I mean, the fact that he wrote me back was special. But the fact that I got it on my birthday made it even all the more special. And I'm going to hold on to this forever. This means everything to me. You know, it's his letter to me, his love letter to me. The Bible is God's love letter to you. And I want you to think, every time you pick it up, it's your birthday. Every time you pick it up, it's your birthday. God created you. God formed you. God fashioned you. He gave you breath. He gives you life. He sustains you every day. Every time you pick up the Bible, it's your birthday. It's God's love letter to you. Now, I'm going to be honest here, and I'm just going to, you know, be upfront with you. You probably already know this. The Bible can be a weird book. I mean, it is. It's a weird book. There's many different types of genres in the Bible. It was written to ancient Israelites years ago. They lived in a different time and a different place. And there's some weird stuff in there. Now, some of you know that I began the year, I'm doing a blitz reading of the Bible in 90 days. And so I started January 1. The goal is to end of March. And so I'm just blitz reading through the Bible. It's a different way to read the Bible. There are many different ways to read the Bible. There's no right or wrong way on how you approach the Bible. Some of you are doing a year plan. You're taking the whole year. Some of you may take 2 years, 3 years. Some of you may take the whole year and just focus on one book of the Bible. That's fine. The goal is just get your nose in the Bible or listen to it on your phone. I'm doing this blitz reading of the Bible, and I just finished Leviticus last week, and I read it again, and there's some weird stuff in Leviticus, all right? Now, there's some good stuff in Leviticus. It makes sense to us. So, like, for example, if you turn to Leviticus 19:15, it's pretty self-explanatory. Leviticus 19:15 says this: do not pervert justice. Luke preached a great message on that last week about doing justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. That's pretty self-explanatory. But then there's some weird stuff in Leviticus. If you go to the end of Leviticus chapter 14, did you know that if we were living in ancient Israel, and if I was the priest and you were part of the people, that I would have to go into your house and inspect your house for mildew? Did you know that? If there was mildew in your house, I'd have to kick you out. Oh, and there's skin diseases. I'd have to inspect your skin for diseases. I'm grateful I was not a priest back in ancient Israel. The point is, there's some weird stuff in the Bible. I get that. And we have to understand that it was written to a people long ago, far away. And then if you understand all these different regulations, this is basically why, in a nutshell, God cared for the health and cleanliness of his people. He wanted them to be safe and clean without disease, and he wanted them to be holy and pure. He didn't want disease to spread among the people. The Bible is a weird, unique book. And if you're new to the Bible and you haven't really read the Bible, I want you to know up front, there's some weird stuff in there. But don't let that intimidate you. Don't let it frighten you. The idea is to try to understand the context and the history and the reasoning behind some of these weird things that we read. Even as I'm reading through the Bible, this 90-day blitz, I'm still learning and growing myself I seek the wisdom of others. And so as I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, I'm also reading the Old Testament, A Guide to Its Writings. This is an old book. He's an old theologian, Hans Walter Wolff. He's a German theologian. This was published a year before I was born. But his insights into Scripture still help me understand the Old Testament. And the Germans, in particular, really help us understand something, and this is the German word for it. It's called Heilsgeschichte. That's a big fancy word, but it basically means salvation history. The German theologians were really good at helping us understand how the whole of the Bible really points to the salvation of the whole world and God's redemptive purposes from beginning to end. There are many, many helps to help you understand as you get into the Bible. Now, I love Tim Biggs. He's one of my best friends, but he found something a couple of weeks ago, an amazing find at the thrift store, and he's been kind of rubbing it in my nose a little bit. He found, this was Goodwill on here in Springfield. Oh my goodness, I'm still in awe that he found this. For $3, he found the Tanakh. You're going, what's the Tanakh? The Tanakh are the entire Hebrew scriptures, Old Testament, and not only that, it's in English, but also in Hebrew. And it's in excellent condition. There's not a mark in here. So this includes the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the rest of the prophets and the writings. What a great find for $3. And so Tim is rediscovering a new way to read the Bible. And it's really opening up some things for you, right? So the first thing I did when he showed this to me, and by the way, you read it from right to left. You read it from right to left. It's backwards because that's how the Hebrew is. First thing I did when he showed this to me is I turned to Psalm 23. And I'm going to read Psalm 23 to you because the wording is different. It's beautiful. But it gives you a whole different perspective on how the Hebrews themselves may have understood. So let me find Psalm 23. Tim, you may or may not get this back. I don't know yet. I haven't decided. This is a beautiful find. Oh, listen to the 23rd Psalm as printed in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures. And just the beautiful language and imagery that it presents to us. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You see, God gives us everything we need. We lack nothing with Him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to water in places of repose. He renews my life. Oh, that's beautiful. He guides me in right paths as befits His name. Though I walk through a valley of deepest darkness, I fear no harm, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table for me in full view of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My drink is abundant. Only goodness and steadfast love shall pursue me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many long years. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Tim, and you found a great find with this Tanakh, and I'm going to hand it to you so that if it goes missing, no one blames me that it disappeared. Oh, that's beautiful. Because I understand the Bible is a very unique, strange book, I did a study that I called 8 Words, and some of you may remember this study. Many of you are new. What I did is I took the whole message of the Bible, condensed it down to what I think are the 8 most important words for us to be aware of as we read the Bible. There's about, depends on which translation you look at, there's about 800,000 words in the Bible. I mean, it's a big book, collection of books. I took those 800,000 words, which is intimidating, and I narrowed it down to 8 words from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'm in the process right now of editing this and updating it, and I want to help walk those of you who are interested through this study, because what it will do, it will help you immerse yourself in a very understandable way the message of the Bible. This is what I wrote in the introduction. Words have power. They have the power to build up or tear down. Words have the ability to encourage or destroy. Words can empower or demoralize. Words can educate or they can baffle. This study presents 8 words that represent the message of the Bible from cover to cover. These 8 words and the meaning behind them are so important that it will be worth your time and effort to take a closer look. The Bible is a message of hope, even while taking an honest look at the world as well as ourselves. If you've ever wondered why the world is the way it is, or why people are the way they are, or even why you are the way you are, this study will help shed light. If you've ever wondered about God, or if He exists, or even cares, this study will help, and there's more. If you're interested, let me know, and maybe on a Wednesday night or some other time, I would like to help walk you through this study as part of our discipleship growth in God, so that you can gain a better understanding of the comprehensive whole of the Bible, grow closer to God, and get excited about this wonderful gift that God has given us that has persevered throughout the years in this amazing gift that we call the Bible. The message of the Bible doesn't change, but we change, and circumstances change. And so how you read the Bible maybe when you were 12 is going to be different than how you read it when you're 25. Because you've grown, you've matured, you're in a different place and season in life. If you were living in South America in the 1940s and 50s and dealing with the oppression of the times that you were living in, you're going to read the Bible very differently. And that's where was birthed liberation theology that helped the oppressed and those who were suffering in the throes of South America. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a federal holiday here in the United States. If you were black living in the South in the 50s and 60s, you're going to read the Bible very differently. And you're going to appreciate its message of hope and liberation differently than if you were a white slave owner. If you were a 16th century monk living in Europe and you saw some of the abuses of the Catholic Church, you're going to read the Bible very differently. And its message of grace and love and mercy in Christ Jesus, not in the indulgences of the church, you're going to read the Bible in a whole different light. If you were a woman at the turn of the century and struggling with women's suffrage and women's rights, you're going to read the Bible differently than, say, a man who had power and authority. The women's suffrage movement, which birthed the women's Christian temperance movement, of which our very own Joanne Cook has been a member of for many, many years. The Bible brought hope to women who were feeling oppressed and felt like God had more for them than what the culture would dictate. And so the point is, the Bible throughout the ages has given different groups and different people hope and its message of liberation and salvation and redemption. And if our country needs anything right now, it's a return to the message of God's redeeming salvation power for His people. Otherwise, what happens if we don't have that unifying message of God? We begin to fall apart at the seams, and that's exactly what's happening. Let's look at a couple of scripture passages that talk about what the Bible says is its benefit for us. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119:105. Your word, talking about the word of God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You want to know why so many people stumble and fall? Because they're living in darkness. There's no moral guide. There's no spiritual direction in their life. But one of the things the Bible will do to help us succeed is illuminate our path, lighten the path, direct the path that we are to follow, so that we don't stumble or fall. That's why repeatedly in the Bible, God says to his people, do not depart from my word. Don't depart to the left or to the right, but stick with my instructions. Now, the instructions from the Old Testament differ some from, you know, in the New Testament, but the message is still the same. Follow God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and you will succeed. You will flourish. You will grow. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now let's look in the New Testament, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to a young man named Timothy. And he's talking about the purpose, the value of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed or God-inspired and is useful for teaching. We all need to be taught in the ways of God. That's why discipleship is important. That's why I want you to go through this study, this eight-word study, if you haven't been through it, or find a study, but grow in your understanding of God. Trust me, you will not exhaust the depths of God's wisdom. Because the deeper you go in God, the more you're going to learn, and the more you're going to grow. So Scripture is given to us so that we can be taught. All Scripture is useful for rebuking. And no one wants to be rebuked, right? It's no fun. You know, when I was little and I did something wrong, my mom used to slap my hand. She did it because she wanted to teach me the right path. And sometimes when you read the Bible, God's going to slap your hand. But he disciplines those who he loves. And so if you're on the wrong path and you feel that little slap, don't get mad at God. Look inside and say, okay, God, where do I need to change my ways and be right with you? And so, yeah, when you go to read the Bible, you're going to get rebuked. I get rebuked. But that's because God wants the best for us, and he wants to see us succeed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Nobody likes to be corrected because we think we know it all, right? Or Google knows it all. You know, we are self-sufficient. I know how to get from point A to point B. I mean, what's one of the weaknesses of us men? You know, we don't want to stop and ask for directions, right? And because of our stubbornness and our strong will, we will drive around in circles before we admit that we're lost. Most of the time. Until we run out of gas. But the Bible is there to correct us and reorient us back to the ways that we need to go. And so as we read the Bible, as we approach the Bible, we must have an attitude of, okay, God, I may be wrong, so you correct me. We have to approach the Scriptures with a degree of teachability. God, teach me, correct me, rebuke me if necessary, because I know you want me to succeed. I will listen to you. And then finally, and perhaps most importantly, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That is God's end goal for us, is to be righteous and holy before him and before others. And in order to get there, you got to be trained as to how to be righteous, how to be holy. What does God want to do in and through you to get you to that point where you are living a righteous life right before God? That's important. That is success in the eyes of God. living righteous and holy before Him. So that, verse 17, the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God gives us His Word. He teaches us, He trains us, He rebukes us, He directs us so that we can do His will. My goal this morning is to get you excited about the Bible. That can be hard. I get that. We live in a world with so many distractions. It's so much more entertaining to watch Disney Plus or Netflix. I get it. Some of you are looking at your watch because you want to get home and watch the playoff game. I get that. I get that. And I've never rooted for the Browns before in my life, but I'm rooting for them to beat the Chiefs. We live in a world of distraction. We'd rather scroll through our social media than try to figure out the message of the book of Leviticus. I get that. But if we understand the purpose of God's Word, which is to make us righteous and holy so that we can be thoroughly equipped to do His will, we have to carve out time in our day to spend some time in God's Word, to learn, to grow, to go deeper. We don't worship the Bible, we worship God. But we have great respect for God's Word. If you need help figuring out a way to begin your own study, come talk to me. I want to help you. That's why we're here. We want to help you. But you've got to find a way to start getting into God's Word and make it a daily part of your life. It is God's love letter to you. And He wants you to succeed, and He wants you to grow, and He wants you to become a person of God who's on the path of righteousness, living for Him, doing every good work.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.